Welcome to A New Lens with Common Good Capital, where we talk with investors, RIAs, fund managers, and philanthropists. And actually today, we have the honor of broadening this to a graduating senior going to a top institution, which we'll touch on here in a second. But essentially, this is about hearing their experiences within different impact investing themes, and then also exploring this idea of stewardship and capital. And you'll understand here a little bit, or very shortly, why we have Wasawa on with me. So I'm your host, Jeff Schaefer, CEO of Common Good Capital, and I am here today with Wasawa. And Wasawa is a friend of my son, and then he has been dear friends with, dear friends of ours. And so we've got to see Wasawa grow up, and he has a phenomenal story. And not only is his story phenomenal when you look back, but his future is extremely bright. And it's just amazing to think what you have the opportunity to do. And so we're going to hear about that. So Wasawa, thanks so much for joining today.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me.
All right. So we'll start here real fast. Where are you located right now? And what are you getting ready to do here shortly?
So right now I'm in Maryland. See, I'm getting ready to go to the Naval Academy on June 30th.
Are you nervous?
No, not really.
Yeah. So we're going to find out here shortly. This guy is a stud in so many ways. And so you are going to the right place. So let's start here. Give us a little background of yourself, you know, where you grew up, where you went to school. And obviously you can tell us a little about where you're about ready to go.
So I am originally from Uganda, a small country in East Africa. I had a very hard upbringing. At a very young age, I lost both my parents and my twin brother. My name means firstborn twin. And after their deaths, I lived with my grandmother, who raised me, took care of me, did the best that she could to just set me up for a successful future. She was a peasant farmer, so she would work out in the fields for a really long time, and she would lock me in the house to keep me safe. Mm. And I would have a bag of G-nuts, which are peanuts, to snack on and eat. And my health really deteriorated. I became really malnourished and really became close to death. And one day, a nonprofit, a missionary from America came through my village, and she happened to see me on the side of the road playing with my friends. Her name's Roxanne, and she was working for Samaritan's Purse at the time, and her job was going back and forth from Kampala, the capital, to Gulu, which is another major city up north. My village was exactly halfway. And every time she'd make that trip, she would usually stop by my village and just say hi and play with the kids. I was one of those kids. And I wasn't always there. One day, I was actually in my house, really sick, couldn't move. So my friends came and got me out of the house and took me up the road to see Roxanne, because she was asking for me. And she saw that I was really in really bad health conditions. So with permission from my grandmother, she took me to Kampala to get medical treatment. And from there, she became my legal guardian. She enrolled me in an international school where I started learning English, playing soccer, getting a good education.
Can I jump in for a second? Because I want to ask you a few questions about your time there, in Uganda. Do you remember being ill and malnourished?
I do. Yeah, it's...
You do. Is that a hard thing to talk about?
No, it's not hard for me. I just see it as it was just part of my life journey, and I'm moving forward from there.
So then how old were you when Roxanne first saw you?
She saw me when I was 5 years old, and then became my legal guardian a few months after that and adopted me at the age of 8.
Do you mind me asking about your family? How did your family pass away?
So my father and mother passed away from, a disease, I think, okay, malaria or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you remember your twin?
No, I do not remember him at all.
How old was he when he passed away?
He was four, I believe, or three.
And was your mom and dad alive at that time?
Yes. So my mom passed away first at the age of three, and my twin brother, and then my dad at the age of four.
Last question, because I don't want to pry in here too much, but do you remember any of them?
No, I don't remember any of them, sadly.
Yeah. Well, thank you for enlightening us there. Tell us just a little about your grandma. And then from there, tell us about when you came to America and kind of what you've done.
Yeah. So my grandmother, this is on my dad's side. She's a very hardworking lady. I'm so thankful for her. She's a godly woman, and she introduced faith and into my life at a very young age. And she lived as, you know, how God, you know, called her to live. She's been through a lot. Her faith has caused her to lose loved ones and, yeah, just live in very hard circumstances. And through it all, she's had a great attitude, kept her fighting spirit. And she knows inside that the Lord loves her and will take care of her and provide for her. So she knows, yeah, she's very strong in her faith.
So how old is she today?
She is 74 or 5.
I know, because you and I just touched base. You just came back and you got to see her, right?
Yes. So we were just in Uganda. We were there for about a week and a half, and we had the privilege of going to my village. We usually try and do that every summer, but because of COVID, we didn't go last year. So this year was really special. My grandmother and her friends and really the whole village surprised me and held a little graduation party / church service, thanking the Lord for what he's done in my life.
Do you know how many people are in your village?
Thousand.
Okay, a couple thousand. Okay, yeah, so fairly large. Okay, so that's awesome. So tell us now, you came to the U.S. Where'd you go to school? Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, so I lived in Uganda till age 11, and then we moved to Clearwater, Florida. We were there for a year and a half, and I joined a soccer team there, started playing soccer competitively. Then we moved to Orlando, Florida. I attended Lake Highland Preparatory School. We were there for 3 years and played with the Orlando City MLS Academy. Met some awesome people like yourself, Mr. Cooper. Then we moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and where I attended the Lovett School for 4 years. Just graduated, and now I'm about to attend the United States Naval Academy in 10 days.
I just got goosebumps when you said that, Wasswa. What an accomplishment. And I know you're not going to say this, so I got to ask some of these questions. Did you give any type of speech or anything?
So we had a senior chapel for the seniors, but really the whole upper school.
Okay.
I shared a little bit about myself, my journey to the whole upper school. It went really well. I had to get up on stage. You know, just another public speaking moment for me. I'm getting used to those now.
So what kind of GPA did you graduate with?
Graduated at 3.6. Yeah, I had to work hard in high school. There was no coasting for me. I had to work for my grades, and I had the opportunity to start a club at the Lovett School called Africa Interactive, where I facilitated interaction between the Lovett students and children in my native country. So throughout the year, we would have interactive projects. And yeah, just my goal was to help my peers at Lovett see a different culture, see what life is like for kids their age in Africa.
So when you go back to Africa and then obviously come back home, how do you process all that?
Yeah, it's very hard. I can say I've lived in two extremes. The Lovett School is very affluent, so I've seen that side. And then just going back to a completely different environment where, you know, you see people are suffering and, you know, there's so much that I want to do about it. And I believe this next stage of my life will help me prepare to do what I want to do. So, yeah, it's I try to learn from each side, from the people in Uganda, how they are able to continue to persevere through adversity and things that they have to live through daily. And then also in the United States, how people use their talents, their money to help others. Just learning, constantly learning is what I'm trying to do.
You know, this question, not that you don't have a full answer and it's just as real for you as it is for me, but I'm asked this question and feel free to answer however you'd like. How would you best describe yourself in the context of where you are in your life journey? I mean, obviously at one level, you're just getting started, which is so exciting, but help us get into your head.
Yeah. I would say my life journey has been quite unique. I'm so thankful for it and the things that I've gone through. They've definitely shaped who I am today. And I can't thank the people in my life. I'm just so grateful for grandmother, my mother, Roxanne Robbins, just other countless people who have taken me in under their wing, shown me how to live a godly life. I've tried to learn from godly men and how they treat, you know, their children, their spouses, and try to have a good family. And one of my future goals is to have a family of my own one day. So I constantly want to learn what that looks like, how, you know, these men are doing that.
Well, we had the pleasure of being in the mountains of North Carolina, whatever it was, 3 weeks ago, and we're with a bunch of men and young men like yourself, and that was a special time. You're on a big time journey here. I mean, you think about how many people actually get accepted to an institution like yours. In light of that, how do you think you are trying to change the world today, or how would you like to try to change the world at some point?
Yeah. I'm young. I'm 18, and there's so much for me to learn. Going to the Naval Academy will just continue to help me learn from leaders, and particularly military leaders, and how they inspire others to be their best selves. Something I want to do is inspire others to be their best selves, and I want to go back to Uganda one day and help my people. I don't know what that looks like yet, but this next stage of my life will definitely help me gain tools and just continue to learn.
Do you see yourself living in Uganda at some point, or do you see being here in the U.S. and trying to help influence Uganda?
I see myself going back and forth between Uganda and the United States.
So now we're going to switch to, because obviously this is typically we're talking about capital and the power of capital. And you actually kind of alluded to it earlier, that I think you're going to have a very unique perspective, which is why I can't wait to, you know, hear your answer. Not that I'm setting it up for you to impart the best wisdom on us as any guest, but you might just do that. When did you realize the power of capital, or how do you process the power of capital?
Yeah, I think I realized the power of capital from a very young age growing up in Uganda. I looked and people around me had no capital, had very little resources to work with, and you know, finances were tough for everybody. So, yeah, I've been able to see a world that has no capital, and now being a world that does have capital and is at least using what they have, I guess, stewardship, to either better the lives of others in other parts of the world or use their money for the good.
With the families, individuals that you have met here in the U.S. and that are your friends, how have you seen people use capital here in the United States for good? And do you generally see that happening? Or is it like, man, there's still a big gap of how people could be using their capital for good?
Yeah, I was actually, I had this conversation with a friend of mine just a couple of days ago. I do think that there are some people here in the United States that use their capital to help others. But yeah, I think there should be more. And obviously I can't tell people what they can do with talents, their resources, their money. But one of my goals is to encourage people that have have things, have a lot to give to those that have little.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things at Common Good, and a chunk of this comes actually from my younger brother. As you know, he lives in Rwanda. We really have kind of carved out a niche at Common Good to do the very thing that you just described, which is essentially to get Americans to, in this case, what we do is not charity, but instead invest in Africa, not only to make money, but also to enrich the lives of Africans. And I'll just tell you, Wasawa, that, you know, you and I haven't talked about business a whole lot. I'm very encouraged. I mean, there's a long ways to go, but I'm very encouraged just the conversations that we have had with a number of investors and more financial advisors across the United States who are trying to get their arms around Africa. And one thing that I need to do a better job of articulating this, you know, we as Americans often look at Africa and have all these preconceived notions. And to some degree, it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's a sob story. And from my experience, I actually flip it around and say, it is an amazing privilege to risk your capital, to be able to risk your capital to better the lives of, for human flourishing for Africans. Yeah, there are clearly sad things, but I just was over there. You just were over there. Yeah, there's clearly, you know, resources that are needed, but there's also a lot of people. They love life. They're happy. And I'm not so sure they all would want to come here either. So I don't know. Do you have any general thoughts about what I just said?
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I think that people need, you know, just a reminder. It's a bit of a push. Yeah, just to use what, and it doesn't have to be money. It can be their time.
Yeah.
Just anything like that. Even just going over to Africa and spending time with the people. The people over there are great. Mm-hmm. Can't speak for other African countries, but for Uganda, people are amazing. They are happy. Kids have fun. They play together. It's really different and unique. And I hope one day that this doesn't have to be just Africa and the United States. It can be all of other countries that people from around the world would interact with each other, share things together. And I think that's just a unique way that the world will be a better place, is if we would all spend time together and be nice to one another.
You're about ready to go to the Naval Academy, and chances are you're going to have some of the most amazing experiences, and you'll also be set up with leadership skills and some capital. And so as you think about stewardship for you, what does that mean?
Yeah, stewardship means that I use my God-given talents, money, resources to help others. And I've tried to do that. So, you know, sometimes I fall short, but that's one of, I think, the things that the Lord calls his people to do, is to use what they've been given to better the lives of those that have very little or have nothing at all.
All right, Wasso. So now I'm going to get really personal. What do you think you're called to do, and what skill sets do you have? Are you still trying to figure that out? It's a hard question, I know.
Like I said earlier, I'm young and I got the
world
in front of me, but yeah, I have a heavy calling, and I feel that the Lord calling me to continue to learn from others, my mentors, my future professors, and get skills, get all these tools to one day help Uganda and the people and Africa as a whole. You know, it's been a continent that's had lots of struggles, conflicts, and yeah, it's close to my heart, and I want to do something about it. And, you know, I have to learn and see what that looks like. So I don't know what it is yet, but.
Well, and I don't know, you and I don't think we've talked about this, but I've had another gentleman on my podcast who I'm good friends with. His name is Patrice Saigi. He's from Cameroon, although he lives in the U.S. And he's my age, but I'm going to connect you with him when the time is right, because he too has a big heart to go back to Africa and to work with leaders. So I think there's other people in your lives that are going to help shape this. And Patrice might be one of them. So I'm going to make sure that we introduce you to him. All right. So let's finish it up with this question. If you could make one dream come true for your life, what would that be?
Right now?
Or you can have two, whatever.
I'll say in the future.
Okay. And besides having a family and wonderful kids and a beautiful wife and all that. Or unless that was it. And I don't want to take that from you.
No, that was it. But I'll have another one. I have
more. I love it. You're thinking.
This is tough, man. You've been asking me tough questions. One goal that I have for the future is to become a naval officer. So by attending the Naval Academy, I will receive a great education. I'll make lifelong friends. And I believe the things that I will learn and grow in my leadership abilities will set me up for what the Lord's calling me to do. Yeah, I've just been fortunate that I'm an American citizen and, you know, I've been given opportunities and I'm just so grateful for them and try every day to make the most of things I've been given. Going to the Naval Academy, I want to serve my country first and foremost. This country has, you know, adopted me. Mm-hmm. And so many others. And I believe by being a military officer in the United States Navy will just help just show my appreciation to this great nation. So that's a goal that I want to have. Mm-hmm. And I believe the Lord will use that to bring about what he has for me.
It's fascinating to me, Wasso, that we've not talked about soccer, but about this much. And maybe it's because I asked you some questions. What are some of your goals in soccer? And for those, I mean, what everybody needs to understand is this guy to be able to go to the Naval Academy, obviously is extremely disciplined. He is an amazing athlete. And this is hugely important in his life, but it's actually quite interesting that you haven't brought it up as much, which is what I love about you. And is that it doesn't define you, but yeah, but you're disciplined and you love it. So any goals for soccer?
Yeah, so I'm going to be playing soccer at the academy. Goals is just to have fun, to play and score goals, just have fun with my teammates, my coaches. And yeah, soccer has been part of my life since the very beginning. Yeah, it's been fun for me. I've loved playing the game and still, you know, continue to. Yeah, I don't know what the Lord has for me with the game, but yeah, just right now, I'm happy that I get to play in college and continue to get better and grow as a person. So,
do you have any aspirations to play after college?
Yeah, if I don't know what that looks like, either if it's professionally, semi-pro. Yeah, I do have desire to play after.
Okay. That. Obviously, we will not have – this is all audio, so there'll be no video. But I can't help but contrast what's in my head – when you described about being on the side of the street, malnourished, and if you were to see Wasowa today, this guy's got calves of stinking steel, and his body is an absolute machine. And it's just amazing to hear the story of where you've come from and what you're doing today. I mean, it is like, it's like two worlds. It's what you just said. But I mean, not only is it Africa and America and, you know, you're at one of the elite institutions in America. I mean, I don't know what the acceptance rate is, but there's not that many people that are going. So it is stunning to sit here and really think about where you've come from. And I think it's going to be phenomenal to watch where you go. And I would just say, as somebody who's older than you and who knows you, you're inspiring. And I want you to know that. And I wish you well. And I know you'll do a phenomenal, I know you'll be great at the Naval Academy. And as we've talked about, we definitely going to have to come up and see you play. But it's been an honor for you to share some of your story with us. And I'm grateful, and I know my wife is grateful, and I know Nick is grateful that you've been in our life. Unfortunately, it's not been a ton, but the little bit that we have, we're better people because of you, and look forward to, you know, future discussions that we'll have.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Schaefer, for having me.
How was this? Was this hard?
No, it wasn't bad.
All right. Well, you did good. Well, let me close this out. So, Wasawa, just thanks so much. We appreciate for all your insights and knowledge. And yeah, at 18, you're still figuring stuff out, but you're well on your way. And in some degrees, you're probably way ahead of other 18-year-olds. So, and I think you know that. I think you know that the experiences you've been given are shaping you for great things. With that, don't forget to subscribe to A New Lens with Common Good Capital on your podcast app of choice. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. This will help other investors find the show and hopefully put them on the path to a more fulfilling portfolio, but even more than a fulfilling portfolio, a fulfilling life and thinking broader than just yourself. I'm Jeff Schaefer. We'll talk to you next time. This podcast is a production of Common Good Capital and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation of an offer. Such offer would only be made through a private placement memorandum. Prospective investors in private placement securities should be aware that making an investment is speculative and involves a high degree of risk, including the risk of losing all or a portion of an investment. Investments of this nature are illiquid and subject to substantial restrictions upon transferability.